Good evening. It's nice to see you. That's our staff band. Can you give them a hand? Yeah. Amen. They did no work today. They practiced all day. It's great to see you, and it's great to have you here. Ziggy, the only oak sitting in the grandstands, eh? It's just you, eh? Yeah, it's all right. And the Indian guy behind you that we can't really see because, I mean, yeah, okay, we can see at least your name badge and your teeth. It's great to have you. I mean, can you, God has been good to us, eh?
Yeah, very good, Lord.
Let's give the Lord a hand. I mean, this is... Welcome to the leadership team. Some of you I have never, ever seen in my whole life. And you are leaders in the same church as us. So welcome. I saw a couple sneak out and I said, hello, I'm Rory. And they said, nice to meet you. So either we're doing a remarkably good job or we're doing a remarkably bad job. I don't know which one it is, but it's great to have you here. Clint and Michelle and the team have just run a very wonderful new members course with nearly 300 people in the last few nights. So that has gone. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And we've seen, I mean, just the most remarkable stories. And actually, we can plant a home group in Joburg because a lot of people came through from Johannesburg.
Yes.
Through supernatural means. I mean, literally, are coming through every Sunday and feel like this is where God has called them. Got saved here and have done the new members course. And I think we can actually plant a home group in Joburg, which will probably end up as a church in Joburg.
Yeah.
So that's God's faithfulness. So we can thank God for that. Stephen and Kathy are in Qatar at the moment with Artie Kendall. Adrian has flown from Stellenbosch to be with Artie Kendall. And the guy in Qatar phoned me today and said, Rory, we're going to Nepal in May, and we'd love some of your leaders to join us. So the invitation to Nepal, paid for by you, by the gracious hand of God, is upon us. And in October, they're going to go to India, and they've invited us to join them as well. So the nations are opening up to us in the most beautiful ways. Eugene and Wendy have just been in Kamatiport. Eugene's dad used to lead that church in Kamatiport. And we went away to pray about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And Eugene just mentioned, he said, my dad used to lead a church here. We went into that church. And on the pulpit was their next preaching roster. And Stephen Clarkson was actually going to be preaching in that church within a couple of weeks. And I think you went go with him. And then Eugene then went with Stephen. And through that, we had a relationship. And that guy's been leading for 22 years. Yeah. And Eugene has helped with the transition. So Wendy and Eugene were there this week in Kamatiport. So God's working in wonderful and beautiful places. It's great to see you. I'm going to preach on the book of Malachi tonight. Don't look. Don't Google. Don't use AI. But I'm going to ask some of you random questions about Malachi. So I'm going to walk down here because the front row know nothing about Malachi. What do you? Nothing, bro.
No.
Seriously, China.
No.
What are you talking and all?
Only the money.
All the money. Eh? Hey, Charo's always know about the money. Eh? You know what I'm saying, eh? Okay, but this guy works for SARS. What do you know about Malachi?
Just the law.
Just
the law.
That's it, eh? Okay. What do you know about Malachi? Carl?
Lost prophet.
Last prophet? You're wonderful. That's awesome. Yeah?
And just before the 400-year silence.
Just before the 400-year
silence. Pointed to Jesus.
Pointed to Jesus? You want to preach tonight? You're good. Ryan, you must know a few. What do you know about Malachi?
It'll be given, and it'll be given to you. Poured out, and just the whole spirit of giving.
Spirit of giving is good? That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, you're whispering. You're whispering into your husband's ear, Stephanie. What do you know about Malachi?
I was saying it in Afrikaans.
I say it in Afrikaans, is it? Even though the fig tree doesn't blossom and the vine produces fruit, that is absolutely amazing. But that's not Malachi, that's Zechariah. But well done. That's very, 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 very amazing. Yeah, well done. No, it's not even Zechariah, but well done. Jochen, I actually haven't asked you for a while. I mean, you can't just have pretty faces on the leadership team. We need some knowledge. What can you tell me about Malachi? Nothing. Nothing. But your friend Wrench is going to help you.
Isn't that the verse where at the end where he says, I'll turn the hearts of the father to the children and the children to the father?
Exactly. The very last verse of the Old Testament. I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what Carl said, 400 years of silence. What happens when God is quiet? Because I've just been thinking about devotions, so I thought I'd share my devotions with you. And what actually happened, sorry, Stephanie, that book is Habakkuk that you quoted from. The only reason I know is the first scripture I ever preached on. And I was looking at this, and many times we ask people, what's God saying to you? And they can actually tell you what God is saying. But I think there are times in our lives when we don't know what God's saying to us. We don't really know what God is saying. And so if God is quiet for a long period of time, the book of Malachi is a good book to read. So on Sunday, Stephen was preaching, and I thought, I think the preaching Kai and Stephen the last has been absolutely amazing. He's preaching and he just stopped and he said, there are people here that are contemplating suicide. And actually, if the statistics are right, there should be about 130 of you in this room contemplating suicide. And a man and his wife went home, had lunch, had a happy family lunch, played games in the afternoon. From Sunday, on Monday, he walked into a park and shot himself. And today we did his funeral here. This time last week was here amongst us. Now he's gone. Yesterday, a very senior man in Pretoria that I just happened to meet at a school function, highly successful, highly qualified, highly gifted man, met him, everything was all right, Christian man, doesn't come to this church, disappeared on Saturday. They found him shot in his car yesterday. Why? Because God is not speaking, or because we don't know how to hear God, or we don't really know how to remind ourselves of what God has already said. And so I think one of the things that I want to speak, I don't want to speak negatively, but one of the things that you are not responsible for is the full well-being of the people that come into your home groups. Because otherwise you're going to die. Because if 20 to 30 people come into your home groups and put the demand of their lives upon you, you do not have the energy or the time to meet that. You are not the personal counselors or the people that come to your house. You are the messengers of God to give them the word, and that word has got to be enough to sustain them. Otherwise, that which you've signed up for is going to kill you. And I don't want it to do that. Because you have to, all you have to, and you are not counselors, and you do not have to spend one-on-one time with everybody in your home group that has trouble, and you don't have to give money to everybody that needs money. You've got to teach them about God.
Right,
Jory. Does that make sense? You are not personally responsible. Of course, we are covenantally linked to the people that come to us. But you are not personally responsible to get them out of financial trouble that they might have been in for 20 years. You have to teach them the ways of God. We have to mature people into the ways of God. We have to know how to handle the word even when God is quiet.
Very good, Jory.
And God was going to be quiet for 400 years. And so he gave them the book of Malachi. And you can say to me, gee, Rory, it doesn't sound so much like grace. Grace was coming. It was pointing towards grace, but there was enough in Malachi for us to hold on to when times are tough.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, guys? And so I want to share with you just some thoughts from the book of Malachi. And I think it'll help you lead your home groups.
Very good.
Is that cool?
Very good, Rory.
So it starts like this, and it says, if you've got your Bibles with you, an oracle. Say an oracle. That doesn't actually mean an oracle. The Hebrew word is a burden. I want to share with you a burden. And as leaders, we do have to carry a burden for people. But the burden is from the word, not the burden that society places upon people. The burden is the word. I carry this word deeply inside of my heart. A burden. And what is the burden? The word of the Lord to Israel, to God's people, through Malachi. And Malachi just means a messenger. So you and I are messengers to carry the burden of God to the people of God. So that when God is silent, we know what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if you actually study Malachi, it's just six arguments with God's people, but I don't want to speak about the arguments. There are lots of questions. I have loved you. How have you loved us? You bring the test. How are we detestable? You've robbed me. How have you robbed me? There's this incredible fight between the Israelites and God. I don't want to talk about those disputes. I want to talk about six things that we can hold on to in tough times for the people that come into our lives. And God is about to go quiet for 400 years. And this is how he starts the burden. I have loved you, says the Lord. Not I will love you. I have loved you, says the Lord. I don't know what that man went through between Sunday and Monday. But Stephen stopped the meeting and said, listen here, I know there are people, but God wants to tell you, I have loved you. And later on in Malachi, it says this, the theological term is the immutability of God. That means God doesn't change. And there's just one verse in Malachi, it says this, I, the Lord, do not change. I have loved you, I don't change. So whether God is speaking to you or not speaking to you, he loves you.
Very good draw.
Settled.
Sure.
And that is the church we're going to build. Otherwise, you're going to try and convince people that are going through difficult times of the love of God.
Sure.
It's got to be settled in our hearts. It has to be settled in our hearts. Otherwise, friends, we are going to raise very insecure people if we cannot get the baseline right of the love of God.
Very good,
Julie. You've heard me say this before, but one of my family members went through a divorce, and the rejection of divorce is a really massive thing. And I said to them, you look beautiful. And they said to me, do I? And as I said, do I thought either I can fill in that pattern of rejection or I can stop it dead in its place. And I said, if you need my second commendation to feel beautiful, it is exhausting. And if you put that upon a man, you're going to kill him. Because your security now lies in the words of a man, not in the word of God. And if God says, I love you, he means I love you.
Sure.
Married, single, divorced, business doing well, business bankrupt. You've got to get that into people's hearts that they can stand secure even in very difficult times. Make sense? 400 years of silence. He says, I'll tell you what. In 400 years, guys, don't doubt me. We've got guys 2, 3, 4 weeks that don't hear from God and they think, where's God? How's God? Why God? Why me, God? Settle the fact he loves you.
Right,
and the people that come into your home, teach them about the love of God.
Yeah.
And they ask this question, but you ask, how have you loved us?
Sure.
And God didn't have to answer that. You know, one of the greatest insecurities of the world is when a loved one doesn't answer you. Because what happens sometimes in arguments is our defense mechanism is silence. And silence is a killer. Is it not? But God does answer them. He says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord says, yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I've hated, and I've turned his mountain into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. How have you loved us, Lord God? I'll tell you how I loved you. I chose you. I chose Jacob instead of Esau, and I chose you instead of somebody else. And chosenness is one of the things that should settle our heart around love. We have been chosen. You didn't choose God. God chose you. The reason that you're sitting in this room tonight is because you were chosen. I didn't choose you. Eugene didn't choose you. Clint didn't choose you. Rob didn't choose you. God chose you. That's why you're sitting here. And the fact that he chose you should settle the fact that he loves you.
True. Very good.
It says that in the book of Ephesians. Amen?
Very good, Roland.
So I've seen one of my children battling to find a position in a team and grinding and grinding and grinding and week in and week out and week in and week out, coming through the junior ranks, trying to get the week in, week out, week in, week out. And then last week, he just got chosen. Everything on the phone is different. Hey, Dad, how's it, Dad? Lekker, Dad. Nice, Dad. played again, got chosen again for this week. Hey, Dad, how's it going? How's practice? Awesome, Dad. Amazing, Dad. When you're chosen, things change. Your attitude changes. But you must remember this. God doesn't have teams of 11 and 15. There are no numbers in God's team. So, well, I'm not in the inner core. No, there is no inner core of the church. The number depends on God. Amen? So we're not all fighting for this number 7 jersey or the number 9 jersey. There are lots of number 9 jerseys. And God's chosen you. So just settle these two things. I've loved you, says the Lord. I've loved you. How, Lord God? I've chosen you. And I answer your questions. Say, but Lord God, there's going to be 400 years of silence. But remember this, I've chosen you, I've answered your questions before, and I don't change. So when I'm quiet, just remember, I've chosen you, I love you, and I answered your questions. So be secure. Does that make sense? I think, honestly, I believe one of the greatest issues in the church today is insecurity around the character and knowledge of God. And we have to settle it. We have to settle it. The ability to handle suffering, the ability to handle quiet seasons, the ability to handle singleness without feeling any form of rejection or that God has left me behind. I'm settled. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build it, but I will demolish it. They will be called a wicked land and a people always under the wrath of God. You will see it with your own eyes. Great is the Lord even beyond the borders of Israel. The second issue. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. Underline that, Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have you defiled you? Amazingly argumentative, eh? Sure. Fighting with God. Sure. By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible, when you bring blind animals for sacrifices, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Sure. Say governor.
Governor.
I don't know if sometimes you've driven a car with a governor on it. A golf cart has got a governor on it. The governor is the thing that determines the speed of the car. So when you go on your golf cart, when you get to a certain speed, it slows down because it's got a governor on. But the governor is the thing that rules our lives. And all of us have got governors. And God is saying, why are you letting the world govern you instead of the Lord Almighty govern you? So when you're under pressure, when you haven't heard God, when you don't know where God is, you have to know that his name, the Lord Almighty, is still worth the sacrifice that we are meant to give to him. Otherwise, friends, we start offering him blind and crippled animals. I've served God now for 40 years, nearly. And my desire is to always offer him my best. You say, Rory, you know you're preaching the law, you're not preaching grace. No, no. I'm telling you, friends, when God is quiet, the thing that you must do is not stop offering less. It's actually offer your best.
Amen. Beautiful, Rory.
That's what God is saying.
Yes.
He said, don't bring some crippled, manged kind of animal to my altar. Bring the joyful person that you were when you got saved. And when I'm quiet, keep worshiping me. Because I'm still in charge. And that stuff that you're bringing, bring it to your governor and see what your governor will say. Because some of the work that you produce, your governor at work will not accept the work. And God says, just keep bringing me your best. Even when it's tough. I see people go through tough times. The first thing they stop doing is worship. It's the first thing they stop doing. And I want to say to you guys, some of you need to come to the front here on Sundays to show the people that are battling in the audience what it means to worship God even when it's tough.
Right, Rory. Right, Rory.
And take a flag and stand on the stage and say, I'm going to serve God with the best that I've got. I will not give God a crippled animal or a blind animal or a maimed animal. I'll give him the best.
Sure.
Verse 12 says this, but you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from their hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Just remember this. When God is quiet, he is still a great king.
Amen.
When he is quiet, he's still a great king. You leaders, I'm talking to leaders. I wouldn't preach this on a Sunday. Because some would find guilt and shame and condemnation. I'm not trying to do that to you. I'm trying to put a resilience inside of you that can handle tough times. Because there are times where the guys just say, you know what? It's not even worth serving God. It's not worth it. It's a little bit later. Said, it's just actually, you know what? I wasted my time. Given my tithe, given my years of my children's lives, it's what I've done. Given my children's lives to the church, come to leaders' meetings, come to prayer meetings. It's not worth it. That's what happens in Malachi. And God says, you've got to think carefully. Got to think carefully. It's always worth it. Because God cannot be mocked. What you sow, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. And sometimes I count the cost and I think maybe I have. And then I've got to reorientate myself to say, Lord Almighty, great King, it's worth it. It's worth it.
That's right. Very good.
It's worth it. Some of you, it's your first leaders' meeting. Some of you, it's your 30 years of leaders' meetings in this church. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Very good, Rory.
I don't know how many new members' courses I've done, speaking on church government and speaking on finances. And part of me thinks, oh, must I just do this again? Yes, it's worth it.
Yes.
Very good, Rory.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Beautiful.
It's worth it.
Great, Rory.
Because he's Lord Almighty and he's great King. And I pray, God, I know I'm covered in Christ, and if I never bring anything, it's enough. But Lord God, I don't. If I have a male in my flock that is healthy, let me bring that to you, not the one that is maimed. The third area is the area of faithfulness. You'll see admonition for the priests. They're not preaching the Bible. God is worried about that. They're not preaching the Bible. And I get said over and over last night, we have to preach the whole counsel of God. It's not the whole counsel of God is not always attractive. Grace is amazing, absolutely amazing, but obedience is also amazing, exactly the same as grace. It's got to be. Freedom is absolutely amazing, but restraint is also absolutely amazing. Do not use your freedom to trip yourself up. Can you drink? Absolutely. Drink your heart out, but don't get drunk. Why not? Because the Bible says don't get drunk. Say, so, hey, our church is full of grace, and Rory preaches, actually, when we're sinning, we can lean on the righteousness. I believe that wholeheartedly, but don't. Push it to the absolute extreme, but don't. That's not the preaching of the word. There are two twin truths of the Bible. When you preach one, you must preach it with all your might, but when you listen to it, you must understand there's another one. And I have to be faithful to that.
Great, Rory. Well said, eh?
And you say, hey, Rory, you change your preaching. No, there are two truths. And he said, listen, if I'm quiet, if I don't speak to you, if you don't know what to preach, just make sure you preach the whole counsel of God. Make sure that you're faithful priests. Make sure you represent the wholeness of God. Amen? That's what he's saying. And then you can see at the bottom, Judah, verse 10. Judah unfaithful. Have we not all one father? Did not one God create us? Why do you profane the covenant of our fathers? By breaking faith with one another. It's not easy to serve God together for a long time. It's not easy. Even now on our team, over the last few months, we've been wrestling about what we believe and how we're going to go for our future. And it's been tough But we've been praying and we've been wrestling and we've been praying and we've been talking and we've been praying. And because God says, listen, yeah, you can't break faith with one another. I'll put you together. You're going to have to work it out.
Great draw.
And we've worked it out. With much tears, much joy, much speaking, much prayer, much talking, much repentance. We've got to work it out. Because I see churches falling apart because when trouble comes, people stand up and think, no, we're going to take up as you can't. We've got to stay together. We've got to work it out. If that means saying sorry, or I repent, or give me another chance, or let's have another go, or let's draw on the faithfulness of God for the future of God, we've got to do that. It hasn't been easy. You've probably seen us wrestling through. Not sin issues, just style issues and communication issues. But I look at this thing today, I was reading it, and I said, you can't break faith with one another. I'm flying down to Cape Town tomorrow because one of my friends has been leading a church for 28 years. Him and the elders have broken faith with one another. I just want to weep. Have broken faith with one another. We are being put together by God. Yeah. And if God is silent and we don't hear him and we're not even enjoying each other, you've got to know you're here by God. We're going to do this together. We're going to love these people together. We can't break faith. Yeah. And even if our spirit or our flesh wants to just leave and run and don't, we've got to work it out.
Yeah.
Amen. Alan Platt from Doxadea said, Pretoria is like an aquarium. These fish just swim around and you see them in your church for a while and they go. And you say, I don't want to build that church.
Yeah.
I don't want to build that church. I want to build a church that when times are tough, we don't break faith with one another. We work it through. Amen? Book of Malachi. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel, in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary of the Lord, loved, by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. Start going outside of the covenant of God. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the altar, the Lord's altar, with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hand. You ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. We have to learn how to love an aging bride. I cannot trade her in because she's getting older. I've got to learn to love her as her stage in life changes. And we have got pastors all over this country getting divorced, even recently in our city, one of the biggest ministries, that just announce and carry on as if nothing happens. They've got the divorce and they carry on. Friends, if I lose this, I lose everything. Because I cannot stand up and preach about anything if I lose this. Nor can he, nor can they, nor can they. We cannot preach about anything. This covenant, when God is quiet, you say, God, I can't hear you. What must I do? Learn how to love the wife of your youth better. You can ask Mel how much time I've put into trying to be a better husband. I love her. I pray for her. I preach over her. I hold her. I hug her. I speak to her. I honor her. I try and bless her. When my salary came in my account yesterday, I put most of it into her account and I said, bless you, my wife. Bless you, my wife. Because I'm reading Malachi and I'm thinking, God, if you say nothing to me, what must I do? He says, just bless the wife of your youth. Bless her. And when it pinged on her phone, she said, Raw, what is all this? I said, this is my blessing, my wife. This church is aging. This church is 31 years old nearly. We just got to love her. We got to love her. We got to keep serving her. We don't want to break covenant with her. This is the bride of our youth. Some of you have been here, the Goslings and the Dollenbergs and the Fannins and the Sanmugams. You've been here for years. You've got to just keep loving her, serving her, honoring her, blessing her. Are you with me?
Very good, Rory.
Is this helpful?
Very helpful.
Beautiful, Rory.
Verse 16. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Let's hold our friendships as we transition and keep growing and keep going. And sometimes we see less of each other, but we hold our friendships. Sure. Amen?
Yes. Very good, Rory.
You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord and he is pleased with them. Where is the God of justice? Where is the God of justice? God, what's this? What's going on here? I'm serving you, God. Where are you? Where's the God of justice? Folks are fighting with God, eh? You see, I will send my messenger who will prepare that way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to you, his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or like a launderer's soap. What do we do when God is quiet? Keep clean. Keep clean. Because when he comes, he's going to come like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. You say, but Rory, aren't we clean in Jesus? Of course we are clean in Jesus. And I'm not talking about the law. I'm just telling you, when God is quiet, keep clean. Don't go back to dirty habits.
Yes.
And if you're battling here with a guilty conscience, you are free in Christ. Yeah. You are free. Your sins have been forgiven. But don't go back to dirty habits. He says to the woman when he saves her from sin, the woman caught in the act of adultery, he says, you are free, but don't go and sin no more.
Amen.
When God is quiet, it doesn't give us permission to go back to our old ways. Because when he visits, he will visit like a launderer's soap. And I'm saying, Lord God, just come constantly, like a launderer's soap and a refiner's fire, so I don't have a big meeting with you in 5 or 6 years' time. Lord God, if you are silent, please, Lord God, would you just search me and see if there's any offensive way inside of me? And God, as I clean myself on the outside with soap every day, so I don't, will you just clean me inside? Will you just do a refining work inside of my heart,
sure.
Lord God? Talking to leaders, eh? Because most of you are living in dirty environments. Your bosses are doing wicked things. If we're not hearing God, all of a sudden those things start pouring on us. And before we know it, we've got some fingerprints across our heart and our soul. I say, launderer, would you wash me inside? You wash me inside. How are you doing? You okay?
Very good, Dory. We good? Very good.
Verse 6 of chapter 3. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from the decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? I mean, these oaks are having a full go at God, eh? It's like you talk about argumentative. It's what I feel like sometimes. It's like, hey, God, you know what? You want to just like maybe expand on that a little bit? Yeah, okay, I will. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Nicodemus, eh? Pharisee, Nicodemus. Becky, it's your phone. Yes. Yeah. Now, there's an on-off button, Becky. I know you're a professor at the university. You got it, Nicodemus. Yes. You are robbing my attention, yet you ask, how are you robbing my attention? With the phone, you are robbing my attention. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? in tithes and offerings. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, and yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. When the Lord is quiet, continue to be generous. And I'm so concerned that you're trying to help people in your home groups that are not participating in the kingdom finances.
Sure.
And you cannot help a person that doesn't participate in God's economy.
Sure.
You can't help them.
Sure. Great.
Because buying and selling and sowing and reaping are two different economies.
Yeah.
And while the economy in this country is weak and under pressure, make sure that you're participating in God's economy.
Yeah.
Because God's economy does not depend on economic factors.
Yeah.
It depends on His character. When God looks by character, He said, I so love the world that I gave my... When God looks by character, He doesn't look and decide, should I be generous to Gary or shouldn't I be generous? God looks at him and by character is generous. And when He's quiet, just stay generous.
Yeah.
It represents the character of God.
Yes.
Quite a sobering word, does it? It sounds a bit deep.
Good. Very good, Roy. It's the truth.
It's required.
Verse 13, we finished. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. So He's listening to our conversations. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. I'm hard for. I've tithed, I've worshipped, I've run a home group, they've come into my house, they've chowed my biscuits, they've eaten my coffee, they've dirtied my carpets, they've used my toilet paper, and now I've had enough. It's not worth it. God's listening. What did we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? While everybody's having a jol. It's like, where's the fun in Christianity? We like mourning, everybody's jolling, everybody's going away for the weekends, everybody's turning, and we're going to church. But now we call the arrogant blessed. We think that's a lack of life. Bonies, fast cars, late nights, couple of dopes. We call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper. Think, how does that work, God? They're serving you for a long time. How do they do well and we battle? Psalm 73 says this, my foot nearly slipped. And then I entered the sanctuary and I understood the final destiny of the sinner.
Sure.
You've got to enter the sanctuary and realize that those people that are having fun, it's not actually proper fun. And even those who challenge God escape. So, God. And how do they get away with it, God? And I can't get away with it. I had to meet this week with a man who's got away with some stuff with his boss. He's been arguing. He came to see me and he said, what do you think? I said, I think you're wrong. I said, I think you've got away with stuff. He said, yeah, but I said, no, you can't. I said, the world can get away with it, but we can't. So we're going to go to your boss and we're going to say sorry.
Sure.
We're going to repent because we can't get away with it. They can, but we can't.
Yeah.
What happens when God speaks? Don't take chances.
Yeah.
When God is quiet, don't take chances. Don't take shortcuts. You can't get away with it. God won't let you. It's a gift. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Talked with each other.
Yeah.
I sat with Gary today on a bench watching rugby for an hour. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Tears in his eyes. He's going through some. We talk. He's going through some challenge and change. I thought, I wonder what he's going to say about God. He doesn't know I've studied Malachi. Doesn't know that. I remember in the building project, I remember one day he arrived at the church with a wad of cash in a plastic packet, and he said, "Raw, I've just sold some sheep, and I want to put my sheep money into the building project." I'm just telling you some stories, not taking away his glory. On Sunday, his son is going to university, and he needs some finances for his son. And a man walked up to him. He said, "Is that your boy?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Can I speak to you and your son?" He said, "What about?" He said, "Now, can I just speak to you?" And he called him and his son. He said, "I don't know who you are, but when I saw you, I just remembered, I've just sold a few cattle. I got money in my pocket. I just want to give it to you." Guys, come on. 6 years later, after you've bought your sheep money, God gives you his cow money. Come on. So we were just talking, him and I, we were just talking about the Lord. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, Raw, I had to make this university payment. And then I just got this message last week from SARS. Enough to cover the deposit for my son." It just came out of the blue. It just came from SARS. He said, "You know, God is so good." Look what it says. "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened. And he heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." You know what I believe God did today? I believe he just took out a piece of paper and he wrote on there, "Scroll of remembrance, Gary Gosling." That's what I believe God did today. On the park bench.
Very good, Rory.
Watching rugby. He loves you. He loves you. Don't forget it. When he's quiet, give him your best. Keep giving him your best. Stay faithful to the mandate that God has called you to. If you're running a life group and they're not coming, stay faithful to the mandate. Keep opening your home. Keep trusting God. 8 years they prayed for students to come to this church and they never came. Now those people who prayed are in other churches and we are living in the blessing of the students. 8 years they kept trusting God for students. We're going to stay faithful to the mandate. We're going to trust God for revival in Pretoria. We're going to plant churches, teach people about Christ, set them free from bondage and bring them into freedom and learn, teach them how to honor God and to build a community. Stay faithful to your friends. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This Indian man and his wife came to the church and he said to me, he said, "I'll sit behind you every Sunday. I'll pray for you, my brother. And I will love you and I will look after you. I've got your back." Sure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Missy. Thank you, Clinton. I'm going to stay faithful. Thank you, my wife of my youth. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you to you. Open your homes every single week. Thank you. Thank you, Roy. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let the soap just keep washing us. Just keep washing us. Christ has made us clean. Let the soap just keep washing us, washing us, washing us. Stay generous. And when you talk to each other, make sure the conversation will get God to write you in his book. In Jesus' name. Amen.